I was born the day the revolution started in Madagascar. As shots were being fired throughout the capital, I was being delivered in a French military hospital with the help of a French nun, cigarette hanging out of her mouth, yelling, "Pouz, madame, pouz!" And that was my entry into the world. And so 20 years later, when it came time for me to choose a study abroad program, it was generally assumed that I would return to, you know, my place of origin, Madagascar. I mean, how can you not with that kind of origin story, right? But this was my one rebel moment in college. And I wanted to go someplace different than Madagascar, the country that had really kind of defined me for the last 20 years. And that's how I ended up on this study abroad program through the School for International Training in Bali, Indonesia. I wanted to learn how to weave a particular type of cloth called chepuk that's used in religious ceremonies that's only woven on this one particular island southeast of Bali called Nusa Penida, an island that is no bigger than, say, you know, a city in Vermont. I was a religious studies major in college with a fiber art and design minor, I guess, and so somehow this project combined all those interests. And what I have to kind of explain about this time in my life was that I was very kind of anti anything Americana. And what exemplified that to me at the time was that, I'm sure you guys remember this, in 1993, that Whitney Houston song, "I Will Always Love You" from The Bodyguard, that was played incessantly during that time. And when I actually got on the plane to go to Bali, I thought, hey, 6 months, never have to hear that song, thumbs up. And so I had the name of someone who at some time, at some moment, somewhere in their life, had actually woven this type of cloth on Nusa Penida. And what I should probably explain about Nusa Penida is that it was really a stark contrast from Bali. Bali is luscious and green and gorgeous with terraced rice fields. And Nusa Penida is dry and dry and beautiful, but dry. It's much more like Australia than it is Bali. And in fact, it was also considered the root of all evil. It was a penal colony up until the turn of the century. So all the crazy people and criminals were sent there. And when I told my Balinese friends that I was actually going to this island, they said, "Oh no, don't do that. You know, you're going to get sick." And I said, "Oh no, not a problem. You know, here I am searching for this quintessential, unique study abroad experience." So I arrive in Sampulan, the capital of Nusa Penida, and I immediately go to the police station, because that's where you go when you don't know where to go, and you presumably they know where to go, which they didn't. And after they stopped laughing at me, because ironically, you know, here's this island who's the root of all evil, it didn't get a lot of tourists. And the last time a non-Indonesian who had actually been to this island had been at least 6 months earlier. And so this was very unusual. But what these police officers did know is that the only way I could get there was to charter, was to hire someone to take me. And it was almost like some out of some sort of like I Dream of Jeannie, Bewitched episode, you know, you kind of wiggle your nose and click your heels or whatever, and Kutut appeared with his motorcycle. So I quickly get changed into a sarong, because that is what women, you know, on this island actually wear, and I wanted to be respectful. And if you've ever been on the back of a motorcycle in a sarong, it isn't as easy as it sounds. So number one, you have to sit side saddle. And number two, you want to make sure that you do not put your arm around the waist of the person of the opposite sex in front of you, because it suggests you're sleeping together. And I just met Kutut, and I was very concerned about my reputation. So I held on for dear life with both hands on the back of this motorcycle as we kind of wound our way up this mountain. And Kutut, who's a rather unassuming, kind of quiet kind of guy, would make sure to press down on his horn every time we passed by a village. And so all the villagers would come out, and they'd all wave, and they'd all say hello. And I'd be thinking to myself as I got farther from the capital, oh my God, what am I doing? Where am I going? So we arrive in this mountain village. And by the way, I still can't figure out where this mountain village is on the map. It's not even listed on the map. And it's really hot outside, and which means that everyone is kind of having a kind of a siesta. It's too hot to work. And it felt like thousands quickly surrounded me, which, of course, that's impossible. I'm sure it was only hundreds or tens, but it felt like thousands. And a child actually kind of led us through a series of Balinese housing compounds till we reached a woman who was sitting on an open thatched balai, an open thatched porch. And she had a loom in front of her. And she was topless, as most of the women on this particular island are. And I sat there and I introduced myself. I speak Indonesian. I explained why I was there. She looked me up and down, said hello. She showed me the loom, right? And she very graciously invited me to stay the night there, which I accepted. And there was a lot of joking throughout the entire community. Ha, ha, ha. You know, is Kutut going to be staying there with you? Ha, ha, ha. Quickly kind of put an end to that. Kutut was going to arrive the next day to kind of pick me up. And as we're sitting there, she takes her right hand to her left breast and spurts breast milk at me. Breast milk. And so here I am. I'm racking my brain. What is the most culturally appropriate response to having breast milk spurt at you? I'm completely stunned. Everyone around me is laughing hysterically, and I am shocked. You know, do I run away? Yeah, where the hell am I going to go? Do I cry? Do I panic? And, you know, when I was told the story to my mother, who's an anthropologist, and to other people who have had these cross-cultural experiences, who have lived in Indonesia, yeah, no one has had this experience. So I've had no frame of reference. But I suddenly realize that this is a test. And that the only appropriate response to having breast milk spurt at you in this particular village, on this particular island, on that particular day by this woman, was actually to simply laugh back. And so that's what I did. I simply looked at her, and I grabbed her knee, and I squeezed it, and I simply laughed back. Well, I must have passed the test, because I was still invited to stay there that evening. And as I'm returning my dishes to the kitchen, which is a kind of a small structure outside of the living quarters. It's dimly lit, sun's going down, very atmospheric, really, you know, very beautiful. I hear the radio playing. And what is the radio playing? I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston from The Bodyguard. I mean, seriously, you can't make this stuff up. But I did actually learn how to weave this particular type of cloth, which I have here, and I commuted on the back of someone else's motorcycle to this village, Tanglad, on the same island, every day for 6 weeks. And I studied with a really wonderful teacher, and I became an honorary member of the family of the first police officer that I met on this island, to which I still communicate with on Facebook. And I taught English. And I taught kindergarten, and living on this island truly was one of the most transformative experiences of my life. Thank you.